Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, and I'm speaking with Adele Stan, who is Altnet's Washington Bureau Chief and co-editor of Dangerous Brew, Exposing the Tea Party's Agenda to Take Over America. The book is available only from Altnet at altnet.org/dangerousbrew. She covered the CPAC meeting last week and has an article on altnet.org called Right-Wing Disunity Clashes at this Year's Conservative Political Action Conference. And I suppose the height of the most surreal part of the event, which I've obviously learned from your article, Adele, is the notion that Dick Cheney presented Donald Rumsfeld with the Defender of Liberty Award, and in doing so, they were booed and heckled. They got a little bit of their own shock and awe these are the Ron Paul Tea Partiers. Which faction was it?
It did appear to be mostly Ron Paul enthusiasts who tend to trend young. He's got a good following on a strong following on certain college campuses. But I got to say, Ian, the name of the award was even worse than that. It was the Defender of the Constitution Award. And, we don't find torture in our Constitution. We don't, it was just an extraordinary moment to see these grand old men of the grand old party.
Well, Rumsfeld is impervious to anything. He's probably one of the most ego-driven guys. I don't know whether you saw his interview, the Diane Sawyer interview, where he trashed Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell. It doesn't seem like much gets to him, except when he talks about his own children who are drug addicts and who are screwed up. I wonder why. Did any of this get to him?
Yeah, it did. He made some kind of remark like, oh, stick it, or something like that at one point. But what was really interesting was that the heckling was not just like random heckling. I mean, people had very precise messages that they wanted to convey. And, one was about the war. People were shouting, "Where's Bin Laden?" And it was a very telling moment, because the deal is that, Ron Paul is a libertarian, he calls himself a libertarian, and quite isolationist and anti-war. And you have this conference taking place in Washington, D.C., which has many, many colleges and universities, and CPAC, to its credit in terms of its movement-building strategy, makes a very concerted effort to court young people. The right has a very long view, Ian. They are always building for the next generation. And I think that on the left, we tend to have a shorter-term view of things.
Again, I'm speaking with Adele Stan, who's Altnet's Washington Bureau Chief, and she has an article at altnet.org called Right-Wing Disunity Clashes at This Year's Conservative Political Action Committee. So the fact that CPAC have let in Ron Paul and these younger people, that might explain why Ron Paul won the straw poll of presidential hopefuls with 30% of the vote, with Mitt Romney with 23%. I guess we can't forget Michelle Bachmann with 4%, was it?
4%, and Sarah Palin only came in with 3%.
What about Sarah Palin? What did she get?
3%. Yeah.
I see. Oh, well.
But, straw polls, of course, are unscientific, and they have to do, basically, they're a display of a candidate's ability to organize, which is, useful information for, those of us who are parsing tea leaves, Palin chose not to participate in CPAC. Huckabee chose not to participate, and that, at least on Huckabee's count, that had to do with inclusion of an LGBT, well, actually, they call themselves a gay group, Go Proud. as a co-sponsor. But Bachman was ubiquitous at this conference. It's almost like you could not get away from her. She appeared on the she was the keynote kickoff speaker. She gave a reception at the end of that day. The next day she was on a big panel discussion and was around all over the place that day. And she only garnered 4%.
Well, this is an interesting subtext, isn't it? The Go Proud inclusion by David Keane, the long-serving president of CPAC, who's being replaced by Al Cardenas, who I think is going to ditch Go Proud from the inclusion in the next one. But their inclusion also forced the Heritage Foundation, the Family Research Council, to boycott it, along with, as you mentioned, Mike Huckabee and Senator Jim DeMint, and, of course, Sarah Palin. I presume that was her reason as well.
Well, it's hard. Palin doesn't, there's a lot of things Palin does not show up at, and she did not make a statement about Go Proud, so it's hard to say if that was the reason that she did not come. But it certainly was a convenient, moment thing not to show up at because of that. But yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, what Cardenas said, talking to a right-wing blog from Forum, that, they really can't afford to alienate their good friends at places like the Heritage Foundation and the Family Research Council and Concerned Women for America and a whole host of other organizations that did boycott over the Go Proud inclusion. And there was also, some real rumblings from a real grand dame of the right, and that would be Phyllis Schlafly, who served as mistress of ceremonies. She obviously did not boycott, but she served as the mistress of ceremonies at the gala dinner. But on a panel discussion earlier that same day, Cleta Mitchell, who is the chairman of the American Conservative Union Foundation, which is the sponsoring organization, the foundation for the sponsoring organization of CPAC, said she had discussed the Go Proud problem, quote-unquote problem, with Phyllis Schlafly on the phone, and said Phyllis Schlafly was a great woman of vision because she explained how marriage equality could lead to forced marriage and child marriage and polygamy and all kinds of terrible things. I think this moment really shows the possibility for splintering within the conservative coalition with the exit of David Keane.
And Adele Stan, one of the things that's extraordinary about the capture of the GOP by these people, both the Tea Parties and the right-wing activists, obviously, if you do the forensics, you find out it all traces back to the Koch brothers in most cases. But the fact that two of their big stars are people who have made films that have been have relied entirely upon distortion and manipulation. The idea that these liars and dissemblers would become heroes. The fellow behind the Citizens United, who of course made the film that became the Supreme Court decision to unleash unlimited corporate money in elections, their new film was highlighted, Fire in the Heartland. But the guy that founded that used to work for Republican Congressman Dan Burton, and he distorted the prison conversations of Webb Hubble from the recordings of his conversations when he was in jail, when he was supposed to be Clinton's attorney general, and re-edited them to incriminate him, and eventually he was fired by Burton because he was caught. And we know that Andrew Breitbart also distorted a talk that this woman from the Agricultural Department, which destroyed her career, gave. He apparently was served, served at the site, at the CPAC, by Shirley Sherrod, who is now suing him?
Right, the process service for working on behalf of Shirley Sherrod served Breitbart with papers for her lawsuit against him for damaging her reputation through his selective editing of her address to a local NAACP chapter. that he, you know, manipulated to make it appear as if she were condoning anti-white prejudice, which of course was exactly the opposite of her message. But Breitbart, that's a fascinating bit of business, by the way, about Dan Burton. I wasn't aware of that. And it is does seem to be of all of a piece, doesn't it, Ian? Breitbart, you know, was just, you know, his usual astonishing self at CPAC. On the one hand, you know, he hosted a gay-themed party, kind of, you know, looking to be a provocateur to the old line social conservatives. And they gave out bumper stickers that said, our gays are more macho than their straights. On the other hand, he got up on the podium. He used his big time on the podium, on the main stage, to really carry water for the Koch brothers, who had had, as many of your listeners probably know, a big confab in Palm Springs several weeks ago. And were met there by a number of progressive protesters.
Many of whom, a couple of whom I interviewed, yes.
There you go. And, you know, Breitbart, I mean, that was really the whole, he used most of his speech to discuss, you know, to paint this story, this picture of himself as this hero on rollerblades confronting these protesters whom he labeled animals. Who he said were poised for violence. He described himself as standing in alone in what he called a DMZ between a vanguard of riot police and protesters who were ready to storm the riot police. And then he just unleashed this sexist, really sexist, misogynist barrage on the women of Code Pink. You know, whom he called long in the tooth, and he said, you know, they used to be something to look at because they used to be slutty, and I mean, it was just
slutty lefties, right?
Yeah, it was unbelievable, and you know, you don't even read about it in the mainstream media that here this this big, you know, official decades old conservative institution puts this guy on the podium. And this is what he says, and you don't even hear about it. It flummoxes me. And I did.
Well, would he actually be interested in slutty lefties? Because I mean, so many of these guys are in the closeted gay Republican movement, aren't they? And, you know.
Well, it's not for me to decide.
but I mean, the other what's that? Grover Norquist, the whole crowd of them are all you know, family values by day and militarystuds.com by night.
Well, you know, it's that whole Victorian, you know, conundrum, right? Where but it was quite a thing. And I did ask the organizers of CPAC for comment on Breitbart's speech if they had any concerns about his dehumanizing language, and I never got a response back.
Well, he proudly proclaimed that he picketed Jody Evans's house. She's the co-founder when she was hosting a fundraiser for California Governor Jerry Brown, who incidentally got elected. Tell me about Adele Stan, again, Alternet's Washington Bureau Chief. She has a piece at alternet.org called Right-Wing Disunity Clashes at This Year's Conservative Political Action Conference. She covered the CPAC meeting last week. And into the weekend it went, right?
Yes, it did. It ended on Saturday evening.
And tell me about this retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army, Alan West, who was wrap up, gave the final evening address. He's their answer to Barack Obama, in as much as he's an African American. But he was relieved of his command for his abuse of detainees in Iraq. So when you talk about Cheney giving Rumsfeld an award for preserving the Constitution and being responsible for introducing torture into associating torture with the United States, which of course has cost us dearly around the world, since every dictator, including Mubarak, says, "Well, we can torture our own people. You Americans do it." The cost of that,
and
is,
in fact, let us torture prisoners for you.
Right. Let's outsource it. So tell me about this guy who, I guess, to that crowd, the fact that was booted out of the army for torturing detainees, that's a badge of honor, right?
Yeah, it is. It's a big plus. And, you know, West actually even, you know, sort of condemned Barack Obama for, quote-unquote, imprisoning our warriors for killing terrorists, end quote. And he didn't say what he was referring to. But West is really precisely that sort of authoritarian figure who plays so well to the right. And that's the thing to understand about the right. It is an authoritarian movement more than any other ideology. I mean, the libertarians can argue with the social conservatives and but the unifying principle is authoritarianism and deregulation. So with a guy like West, he's sort of the perfect storm of all of those things. Plus, he confers the added insulation from the charge of racism, which at least that's, you know, what the movement people feel when they applaud him. That how can we be racist if, you know, this is our guy? And in fact, he opened his speech basically by saying that, you know, he says to them, you know, a victimization is also a big part of the theme. I mean, the basic old right-wing themes that Alan West really embodies is that sense of victimization by really the dominant class. Which is
and of course the liberal media, that canard, that old chestnut.
Right. Well, the liberal media are part of the ways in which the regular white, real, definitive American culture, as West said, he didn't call it white, but you know, there is a definitive American culture, and he railed against multiculturalism. That the regular white people are, you know, oppressed by these things, such as the liberal media, which he did rant about.
Well, he spoke with pride of having been named worst person 5 times by former MSNBC host Keith Olbermann, which actually brings into question whether Olbermann was actually doing anything useful.
Well, yeah, we could argue that on a whole other show, but the thing is that what was very interesting is he never mentioned Olbermann by name. He talked about being named worst person, and then he says, and he got fired for it, which of course is not at all true. But you know, what's a little lie between patriots?
Well, Adele, it's lovely talking with you, and I congratulate you on the work that you've done, hanging out with the American right, and of course none of their money will trickle down to you. That's the curse of being on the left, right? We're all impoverished. If only we could sell out to the Koch boys, we'd be rich.
Oh yeah, we need to find a few more big billionaires, and we'll be fine.
I know. Of course, they try to suggest that George Soros is the reason why the Kochs are virtuous, but there's no symmetry there.
No.
I wish there was. I wish he was supporting me. All right. Thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Ian.
Bye bye. And hello again, I'm Ian Masters. I'm just speaking then with Adele Stan, who is Alternet's Washington Bureau Chief and co-editor of Dangerous Brew, Exposing the Tea Party's Agenda to Take Over America, a book that's only available at alternet.org/dangerousbrew. She covered the CPAC meeting last week and has an article on alternet.org called Right-Wing Disunity Clashes at This Year's Conservative Political Action Conference. And I would like to invite you to a free public forum at the Hammer Museum in Westwood the Thursday after next, February the 24th. It's called Cuba After the Castros. I'll be joined by journalist and former revolutionary colleague of Castro's, Max Lesnick, and Castro biographer Anne Louise Bardak. It's free and open to the public, and I hope you can make it. This has been Background Briefing. You can hear this program and others at ianmasters.com, where you can also sign up for podcasts and contact me. Our producers are Spencer Downing and Samantha Sumampong. Our engineer is Devin Jordan. I'll be back tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.